From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Megan Mack. Our connection this hour is being made at the Rochester International Airport as victims of Hurricane Maria take the last steps away from their homes in Puerto Rico and into their new city. Hundreds of men, women, and children have made the difficult decision to leave everything behind, everything they know on the island, and make a new start here in Rochester. And our city is just one of many welcoming Puerto Ricans to the mainland. The exodus was initially driven by economic hardship, but Hurricane Maria has accelerated that process. Now, when we hear about the devastation of Hurricane Maria in the news, we often hear numbers. More than 2 months after the storm hit, the island is still in crisis mode, with more than 53% of Puerto Rico's residents still without power, more than 1,500 people still living in shelters. And while there are discrepancies in reports of the number of lives lost, the mayor of San Juan estimates that about 500 people have died. While it's important to consider statistics when describing the gravity of the situation in Puerto Rico, let's not forget about the human stories and the lives impacted by that devastation. This hour, we're hearing from Puerto Rican families who say they had no choice but to abandon their homes. They've lost their jobs, their communities, everything they had, and now they're in Rochester sharing their stories and working to rebuild their lives. The families are joining me in studio today, and I'd like to thank them all for being here this hour. Hola, gracias por estar en nuestro programa.
Gracias.
I'd like to welcome Maria Velasquez, Wilfred Delgado, and Adalberto Hernandez. Welcome to all of you. Also joining us in studio is Hilda Rosario Escher. She's the president of the Ibero-American Action League. She's also helping us with translation today. Thank you, Hilda, for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having us.
I'd like to start with you, Hilda, because today Ibero has some news to share. This morning at a press conference, you provided an update on how many families have come to Rochester from Puerto Rico and how local agencies are stepping in to assist them. What did you share with the community this morning?
Well, we opened our multi-agency resource center, and the first day that we opened, we had 1,000 families coming through our doors, and we had like 30 agencies working with us. So the second time that we opened the resource center, and we are opening every Thursday, we had 300 families, and we expect that more families will continue to move to Rochester.
How many are you expecting? I know you were surprised by that 1,000 number. How many were you expecting initially, and how many more do you think we'll see?
You know, the first time that we opened, we thought that maybe 100 to 200 families. And we were taken, you know, by surprise that we had so many already here. And I still have people that are telling me, my family member is coming. What can you do for us? So I expect that probably, there have been 130,000 that have left Puerto Rico, and they are spread between Florida and New York. So they make their way to New York City, and then they come upstate. We have families that are calling from Virginia and Long Island to see how they can get up here. So I think a lot more families, and you know, because the crisis in Puerto Rico continues, families will continue to migrate to the mainland.
Mm-hmm. And I know that many of the people who are coming here already have family in Rochester, but some are arriving with just the clothes on their back. What are you seeing as people are coming into the center? And where is that center located in case people are listening and need help?
The center is located at 938 Clifford Avenue. And the families that are coming, it's heartbreaking because they bring nothing. We had a cold drive last Saturday or 2 weeks ago. And we had like 500 families there, and a lot of the others could not make it. And we have one particular family that came to me and told me that they were homeless. So I had to put them up in a hotel so until we could get an apartment for them.
Mm-hmm. I just think about what it might be like to stand in those lines knowing that you've lost everything at home. And you're in a city where you probably, it's your first time here, you're not familiar with it, you don't speak the language. And I'm sure that process begins as you step off the plane. So for the families here, Maria, Wilfred, and Adalberto, what did it feel like when you first arrived in Rochester?
¿Cómo se sintieron cuando usted llegó a Rochester? ¿Cómo se sintió?
Bien preocupada. No teníamos nada hasta que conocí a Ibero.
They didn't have anything until they learned about Ibero, and they were very worried.
Quedamos en la calle con un menor de 12 años que tenemos.
We were on the street with a youth about 13 years old.
Gracias a la a Ibero y a la señora Kierna, gracias le doy a todo el personal de Ibero porque de verdad que nos han ayudado un montón. Ahora mismo estamos en un hotel donde son ellos los que lo están pagando.
Right now we are in a hotel where Ibero is the one that is paying, and so even though they came, they were worried, you know, they found us.
Tuvimos Thanksgiving. Una cena de Thanksgiving gracias a Ibero. Tengo mi casita, una casita pendiente gracias a Ibero.
If we found a home for her, and also they had a Thanksgiving dinner because of Ibero.
Mm-hmm. Maria, what did you bring with you when you came to Rochester?
¿Qué trajo con usted cuando vino de a Rochester?
Mi esposo y mi nene.
She brought her husband and her grandson.
Mm-hmm. Did you bring any clothing or items from home? Were you able to save anything after the storm?
Que si pudo salvar algo después de la tormenta.
Lo tuvimos que abandonar todo porque en Puerto Rico no se consigue nada, no se conseguía alimento, no se conseguía, si tenías una planta no conseguías el combustible para la planta. Alimento que tenías en la nevera, todo se dañó porque nosotros estábamos sin luz desde antes del huracán, desde Irma, que fue una tormenta tropical. Nosotros estábamos sin luz. Hacía un mes antes del huracán, nosotros quedamos sin luz.
Before Hurricane Maria, they still they did not have electricity since Irma. So when they came to Rochester, they came with nothing. In Puerto Rico, they lost everything, and they had to stand in line for everything, in the supermarket to get food. Everywhere there were long lines.
I'm so sorry. Do you feel like the Rochester community has welcomed you?
¿Usted siente que la comunidad de Rochester le ha dado la bienvenida?
Bueno, sí, Ibero es la asociación a la que hemos recurrido, a Ibero, porque vivíamos con la hija de mi esposo y el compañero que tiene nos tiró a la calle el 18 de octubre fue que pude comunicarme con la señora Erna, que nos dio la mano para tener donde vivir, que nos alquiló un hotel para, Ibero nos alquiló un hotel para poder vivir, para poder sobre. Tenemos una casita ahí en Brema donde lo tenemos en pendiente. Pero es duro.
Yeah, it's very difficult for her. You know, they came here. They were going to be staying with a daughter and a boyfriend, and that situation did not work out. So they found themselves not having a place. But basically, through our agency, you know, they have been able to find a little home that they will be moving to.
I know that we've here at WXXI have reported on all the wonderful work that Ibero is doing, and you have a big task ahead of you. You've stepped in. Agencies around this community have stepped in.
Yeah, you know, the collaboration has been great. Every agency that I have asked, they have said yes. For us, for Ibero, it's very tough because we are doing this work in addition to the work that we normally do. But for me, it's very, very important that these families are welcome with open arms, and that they, you know, the different systems are very difficult to navigate. And so I put myself in their place. You know, you go into a strange city where you have never been before, you don't know anyone, and you have, the weather is a shock, the culture is a shock, and you don't know where you're going to go. So, you know, I really, for me, this is very, very important. This is who we are as an agency. This is our mission. And we will continue to do this for as long as it takes.
Mm-hmm. I think it's so important what you said, Hilda, because there's so much uncertainty right now across Puerto Rico, within this community, as people come here. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, we hear numbers. We hear 1,000 people came to your welcome reception. We hear 53% of the population in Puerto Rico is still without power. And I think it's so easy to focus on statistics and not think about the lives here in this room that are impacted by everything happening there. And listeners, I wish you could see the emotion that I'm seeing in this room. It's so important for us to share these stories with you. Wilfred, when you arrived in Rochester, how did you feel? What did you bring with you? And did you have people here that you were able to connect with?
¿Cómo se sintió cuando usted llegó aquí? ¿Y tenía familia que pudo estar con?
Me sentía de lo más bien, pero pasó lo que pasó y nos tiraron a la calle.
He felt okay. And, you know, he was with his family member, but they found themselves without a home shortly after they got here.
What did you anticipate before the storm? Were you prepared for how much devastation there was? That's probably a rhetorical question, Hilda, but were you shocked at the conditions after the hurricane made landfall?
¿Usted se sorprendió después que el huracán pasó con la condición de Puerto Rico?
Sí. Nosotros tuvimos 3 días picando palo para poder salir de la casa.
Yes, he was very surprised with the devastation, and they spent 3 days cutting trees to be able to get out of their home.
Mm-hmm. After you cut those trees down and you were able to get outside and look around you, I'm trying to put myself in your shoes, and I can't. I don't know what that felt like. How, if you can tell the listeners what it felt like to stand there and see how your entire community had changed in an instant, what would you say?
¿Qué usted puede decir después que usted cortó los árboles y salió y vio lo que estaba alrededor? ¿Qué usted puede decir, puede describir?
Mucha devastación.
A lot of devastation.
Mm-hmm. What did you do for work back home?
They are retired.
Oh, okay, okay. I'm sure you have friends and family who have lost their jobs.
¿Ustedes tienen familia que perdieron su trabajo en Puerto Rico?
Estaba paralizado el trabajo por todo que tenemos. Sobrino y tenemos, se paralizó todo debido a la energía y a la...
That everything is paralyzed, you know. They have families in Puerto Rico that, you know, they were working but are not working now because I think that I have mentioned that the small businesses are gone. If you don't have electricity to function, you're not going to have business. So one of the concerns that I have is basically those big industries that are functioning in generators and that they may leave the island, and then the situation is going to be even worse. But there are a lot of Puerto Ricans that are unemployed, and that's a big issue.
Mm-hmm. Hilda, I know when we talked to you via satellite phone a few weeks ago when you were in San Juan, you said it was a tremendous shock to see the island like it is now. And I you were very emotional during that conversation. You went to visit your family. What were you seeing?
And I think about it, and I get emotional because I just was not prepared to see the devastation that I saw, with the families. I didn't end up seeing all of my families because I just needed to do something for the citizens of Puerto Rico before I left. So I just went to a bakery and I bought 100 pounds of bread, and I had taken a lot of flashlights and I had taken a lot of mosquito repellent and fans, and I just went to the many different communities distributing everything that I took, and just to see the faces of the kids that, were looking for water and that were hungry was devastating for me.
I feel so privileged because we're sitting here with bottles of water in front of us. And I know, Hilda, you said one of the most immediate needs right now is access to clean running water. Yes. People are getting sick because they're drinking contaminated water or washing clothes or items in contaminated water. 80% of the crop value on the island has been destroyed. We're talking about major destruction and devastation. Do you think most Americans on the mainland understand what the situation is there, or how can we help people better see what's going on?
I think that unless you are there, because even when I was here and I would read and see the news, I was not expecting to see what I saw. And the impression that caused me, when you asked the question, it was like being back there all over again. And it's very, very hard to see that American citizens are going through what the Puerto Ricans are going through.
I'd like to back up just a little because we're talking a lot about what happened after the hurricane. But I'd like to take a moment and talk about how, Maria and Wilfred, you stayed safe during the storm. Where were you and how did you keep yourselves and your family safe?
¿Dónde estaban ustedes durante la tormenta?
En nuestra casa.
En la casa de ustedes. ¿Y la casa de ustedes sufrió algún...?
Sí, las ventanas de la cocina se rompieron, los pasadores y el clown que tenía, y se inundó por ahí. La puerta de la ventana de un cuarto se salieron, se despegaron.
They were in their home. Their house was flooded and it lost windows. She showed me some pictures, and the roof also was damaged.
Wilfred, when did you make the decision to leave home and come to Rochester?
¿Cuándo decidió irse de Puerto Rico y venir a Rochester?
¿La pregunta es
a usted?
¿Por mí?
En octubre.
Oh, Elder Berko, go ahead. You're speaking for your mother, correct?
Yeah, speaking for my mother, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get right up close to your mic for me, please.
Yes, I'm speaking for my mother. My mother, she's here, I'm Rochester, but I live, close, what happened, I've been through, even I'm living here in Rochester, it's hurt, it's sad, to see Puerto Rico the way it is right now. I saw my mother, suffer a lot, also my father. My mother, right now, she's here. I remember the hurricane happened. She no got no communication at all with my family, like for 3 weeks, 1 month. something like that. And the biggest problem in Puerto Rico right now is the hospital. You know, the hospital is very bad. My father, he will come next month to Rochester because he's sick and he need treatment. I think the best way to help him is if we bring him to USA, to Rochester, because it's, Puerto Rico is not the same right now. Puerto Rico is in recovery, and we take time, a long time. They can drink no water at all because the disease, you know. And the hospital is they not got no electricity. They got generator to power the whole hospital, but sometimes that's not enough. You know, people take dialysis. They come to USA because they can't do that over there. You know, few people die already. If you see, you know, people die in Puerto Rico, you know, because they not got no food. No medication, the water you can drink is sad, you know. My mother, she's here, you know, I'm glad that she's here. We went to Ibero, they help us a lot, and they provide me a list, you know, with different agencies that they have, you know, to different stuff that they can help. Yeah, I'm working on that, you know. I'm working with my mother, you know, because my mother, she don't know nothing about Rochester. She don't know English. So I'm on point of that, you know, to take my mother to this agency to get help for her. Also, when my father come next month, so I will do the same thing.
He's coming soon. He's coming in a few weeks?
Yeah, okay. Soon, few days.
Where? Oh, good. Where are they living? Are they living with you?
Or Guayama, Puerto Rico.
They come to Rochester.
Yeah, we from Guayama, Puerto Rico. I got my sisters over there, my father. I still got a lot of family over there. Puerto Rico, I don't know. It's hard because I grow in Puerto Rico. Yeah, see the streets that I grow, the streets disappear, the houses disappear. Everything is on the water, was on the water. Mm-hmm.
¿Tu papá viene para quedarse contigo?
I don't know if my father come to stay in here. I don't know yet, but he will stay in here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so until they build, you know, Puerto Rico bad electricity. You know, because I don't want my mother go back to Puerto Rico and my father, you know, for what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't live in Puerto Rico. People living in Puerto Rico, I don't know how.
Go ahead, Hilda.
No.
Oh. When you were trying to communicate with your parents, with 3.5 million people without power, no cell service, we talked to a few guests in a past show about creative ways that people tried to get in touch with each other through social networking. Maybe somebody knows somebody who knows this person in my family. How were you able to communicate with your parents, and how long did it take you?
In the beginning was hard, you know, because nobody can communicate. Nobody. You know, just the people were in the government, you know. But I communicate with my family in Puerto Rico, I think, after like 3 weeks or 1 month.
A month?
Yeah.
Without talking to your family?
Yeah. It's hard because imagine Puerto Rico is all destroyed under the water. You don't know nothing about your family.
Mm-hmm.
You know. You know, it's scary, you know.
What goes through your mind? What were you thinking silence?
The first thing crossed to my mind is, you know, my family's all right. You know, like, they still alive. You know, that's the first thing, you know.
How did you get in touch with them when you did?
With a friend, you know, like, I called a friend, you know, the phone call go through to her cell phone, I told that person, can you please go to my house and check my family? That person went over there and called me back and everything. It was sad, but, you know, the unity, you know, if we stay in unity, you know, we can do that. We can build Puerto Rico.
one of the things that people did, and they still doing, is they go to the interstate to get a signal. And that's how they are able to communicate with their loved ones. That's what, you know, a friend of mine did, and that's how I found out that my family was okay.
Mm-hmm. Maria and Wilfred, how long did it take you to reach your family here to communicate with them?
¿Cuánto tiempo le, este, tuvo para comunicarse con su familia aquí?
Casi como 4 or 5 weeks.
About 4 or 5 weeks.
When you did speak to them, what did they say? I'm sure they struggled with the same issues that Adalberto had with silence and wondering what would happen. Were they just overjoyed to hear your voice? How did that conversation go?
¿Cómo ellos se sintieron cuando pudo comunicarse con ellos?
Pues ella se sintió como preocupada, pero yo le dije, yo tenía un dinerito ahorrado y le dije que me sacara el pasaje, que no había vía de yo mandarle el pasaje a ella de ninguna manera, todo estaba caído, este, que yo se lo pagaba cuando llegara acá, y así lo hicimos.
Yeah, basically they were concerned about, you know, her, and she was concerned about not being able to talk to them. So, and how to, you know, get their tickets to come to Rochester. Mm-hmm.
Listeners, if you are just joining this conversation, we're talking to families who have moved to Rochester from Puerto Rico because they had no choice. They've lost everything in Hurricane Maria. They had to abandon their homes, and they're coming here looking for a new start. Ibero has done some wonderful, phenomenal work in trying to help more than 1,000 families get back on their feet, find them housing. We're going to take our short break, and when we come back, I'd like to talk about immediate needs and how the community can step in and help the people here in studio and the people around our community who are just looking to continue their lives, and they've lost everything. I can't emphasize that enough. So short break and more connections next. Coming up in our second hour, California will become the first state in the U.S. to offer a non-binary option on driver's licenses and birth certificates. LGBTQ activists say it's a major victory. And this comes after a growing list of colleges is allowing students to indicate which pronouns they'd like to use on registration forms and more. We'll talk about the challenges that remain, and we'll hear some personal stories from our guests. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Megan Mack, filling in for Evan Dawson today. We're talking to families who have made the move to Rochester from Puerto Rico after losing everything in Hurricane Maria. And this has been a very emotional conversation. And I can't emphasize enough, as I said before the break, how much people in our community need your help. So if you're listening now, there are some opportunities coming up for you to step in and try to help some of these families in need. Hilda, I know tomorrow's Rock the Day in Ibero has some specific needs. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, basically, a lot of the families don't have security deposits, first month rent, and those that we cannot accommodate in shelters, we put up in hotels, but all of that costs money. And as a non-for-profit, we don't have the funds to do that continuously. So I'm just asking for monetary donations, but also clothing, furniture, anything, shoes, gloves, scarves, hats, all of that, because these families they did not bring any of that. All they have is summer clothes. Mm-hmm. So we see ourselves scrambling, trying to get all of that attire for them.
And where can people drop off items if they have some?
They can take them to 214 Clifford Avenue. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how about Ibero's website, or where can you call for more information, Hilda?
They can call 256-8900.
One more time.
256-8900. 8900.
Perfect. Thank you. And your colleague who's listening in studio with us today, Tricia Cruz Irving, says if you'd like to make a donation, it's donor option 535 on the United Way's website. Very good. Thank you, Tricia. Thank you for that. Some feedback coming in via social media, and I'd just like to remind our listeners, if you'd like to join this conversation, you can call 844-295-TALK. That's 844-295-8255. Or if you're in Rochester, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. You can email the program at connections@wxxi.org, and I'm also on Twitter at mmacmedia. We can answer your questions about how you can help. Maybe you know a family that has just arrived in Rochester from Puerto Rico, and you have questions for Ibero. Maybe you have questions for our guests, Maria Velasquez, Wilfred Delgado, and Adalberto Hernandez, who's here speaking about his parents' experience. So some feedback on social media so far. This is from Dr. Elizabeth Murray. She says, I've started to see lots of children in the emergency department who have relocated from Puerto Rico. Are there plans to establish routine health care in Rochester for these families?
One of the health care is in part of the multi-agency, and we have Rochester Regional Health. We also have the University of Rochester, and we have Anthony Jordan. So basically is getting them registered with health insurance, because the health insurance from Puerto Rico is not good here. So it's getting them the health insurance and then getting them a primary care doctor so they don't have to end up in the emergency room, and that's what we're trying to prevent.
Mm-hmm. How many kids have you seen come in to the center, Hilda?
There are a lot of families coming with kids. We just actually, we have had several families that we have given cribs and different items for kids.
Most people who have arrived here, do they have families to stay with? I've heard stories about maybe a family of four who lives in Rochester welcoming a family of six or eight from Puerto Rico, and everyone's living in very small spaces, sharing space. Is that the situation for most people, or are you
that's a problem too. They come to a big family and they don't have a place to sleep. So we have ended up buying mattresses for them. And until they can get situated into an apartment. Yes.
So housing is an immediate need?
Housing is a big need, and we're working with the housing authority, and we have had several landlords that have stepped forward and say, well, you know, that they don't need the security deposit or the first month rent. So we also have different agencies that are working with us for employment.
Mm-hmm. Maria, what does your family need the most right now?
¿Qué su familia necesita ahora mismo? Lo más que necesita.
Vivienda.
Housing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in addition to housing, what else
¿Qué más
is most important?
¿Qué más importante?
Después de vivienda, ropa? Una apartment, no. Ya Ibero me dio ropa, ya Ibero me dio calzado, ya Ibero me dio abrigo. Necesito una apartment.
¿Una qué?
Un seguro de medicina para yo poder coger mi medicamento.
Okay, so she's in the process, so she needs health insurance, and she's in the process of getting the health insurance, so she's able to get the medications that she needs. She didn't have the medications, and we took basically the Red Cross helped her with some medication until her health insurance become active.
Mm-hmm. Adalberto, when your father arrives in Rochester, how will he adjust? I don't want to pry into a family situation, but he needs medication, he needs health care. What are your plans for helping him? Are there places that you plan to go?
Yes. I agree with her about the housing, also to medical insurance. I think that's the most important thing. always search, you know, the perfect agency, you know, to help my father to get insurance right away. You know, I think that's my priority, because we will bring him to here because he's sick, you know, he needs treatment. So I think the health insurance is very important, but also to transportation, housing, a roof.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about the winter, Wilfred? How does this temperature feel to you? Was that a shock when you got off the airplane?
La temperatura, ¿cómo ha sido? ¿Eso ha sido una sorpresa para usted?
Sí, porque como nunca había estado en Estados Unidos.
Yes, because I have never been in the United States.
And I think in Puerto Rico right now, Hilda, correct me if I'm wrong, temperatures are still up in the
Oh, Puerto Rico is great year-round. So the temperature is in the 80s, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah, it's yeah. beautiful there.
And with all of the defoliage that's happening with the storm wiping out leaves and trees, there's a lot more humidity, and it's difficult for people to get out and rebuild because of those weather conditions.
It's even worse because since there is not the leaves have not come back yet, it's very humid, and that makes it even hotter. So although the temperature might be 80, and the sun is beating on you, it's very, very hot and very uncomfortable.
Adalberto, you mentioned something earlier that stuck with me. You said the spirit of the people in Puerto Rico is carrying them through. They want to rebuild. They want to bring their country back. What are you hearing from friends and family who are still on the island about the future? What do you hope that, what do they hope the future will look like?
I heard different opinions, you know, like a lot of people want to leave from Puerto Rico, but a lot of people want to stay. Like, you know, like they grow in Puerto Rico, they reach Puerto Rico, and they don't know how to leave from Puerto Rico, But if they has to do it, they have to do it because the situation is Puerto Rico. It's sad, you know, like, I don't know what to say, like, because, you know, I still got the mind, like, of my town, you know, like, it's very sad.
You know, when I was coming back to Rochester after I went there, there were thousands and thousands of Puerto Ricans leaving the island, and everyone there did not want to leave the island. They were forced to leave the island, which is really sad.
Mm-hmm. Maria, for you, when you are struggling to get by day to day at your home, do you think about how the mainland has responded? Are you frustrated by how long it has taken for power to come back on in certain places?
¿Usted está frustrada por que ha tomado tanto tiempo para la electricidad venir?
Sí, bien frustrada.
Sure, she is very frustrated.
We're hearing a lot of positive feedback and gratitude for the response happening locally, which is mainly due to the generosity of the people in this community and also Ibero bringing everyone together. But there's been criticism about the federal government's response to the crisis, Governor Andrew Cuomo speaking out, saying that Puerto Ricans feel like second-class citizens. A panel of 11 UN experts said last month that the disaster response was ineffective compared to the urgency of federal aid to storm-ravaged states on the U.S. mainland. We're talking about hospitals not functioning, residents consuming contaminated water, without relief in any sight. So I'd like to ask our guests, and we can go around the table, do you feel like the mainland is doing enough? Are there conversations happening on the island right now about the federal government's response, about how President Trump has reacted to the crisis?
¿Usted cree que el gobierno federal ha respondido bien a la crisis de Puerto Rico? ¿Y que le ha dado las ayudas suficientes?
aquí.
A usted.
Pero aquí.
No, en Puerto Rico. Si le ha dado la ayuda suficiente a Puerto Rico.
Bueno, para el barrio donde nosotros vivimos, no ha ido nadie.
Well, the town where I was living, no one had come from the federal government.
No one, there was no relief at all.
No relief at all, at least the time that she was there. Mm-hmm. And let me say that when I was there, there was one FEMA worker that I saw out.
How do you feel about the response, Hilda?
I think that the response have not been enough. I feel just like the other Puerto Rican in the island feel that we have been treated like second-class citizens, even worse. Mm. So we are part of the mainland. You know, our men and women go to war. And so we deserve an equal treatment, and that is not happening. And we can say that the island is in recovery. The island is still in crisis. Mm-hmm. And I think that as long as every citizen of Puerto Rico don't have electricity or drinkable water, the communication is not 100%, we will still be in crisis. Mm-hmm.
Wilfred, you came up here because there was no relief for you at home. Do you feel like you were being treated as a second-class citizen?
¿Usted cree que los puertorriqueños, usted fue tratado como un ciudadano de segunda clase por el gobierno federal?
No te sé decir, pues, como te digo, acuérdate que allí no fue nadie.
Well, we just have to remember that no one came to my town. So mm-hmm. I guess that's his response.
Mm-hmm. Adalberto, are you hearing conversations where people are thinking about statehood again? I recently read about a recent referendum in June in Puerto Rico. It offered voters three options: the current territorial status, statehood, or independence and free association with the U.S. And statehood won by 97% of the vote. There was, I should say, there was historically low voter turnout in that election because of a boycott by one of the parties. But it does lend to the question of, should we be having this conversation? What do you think?
What I think the same question do you ask them?
Do you think that Puerto Rico should be a state of the United States?
Okay, that's a good question. You know, this is my opinion. You know, my opinion, the way I see Puerto Rico right now, I think is the best way to Puerto Rico, you know, grow. Like, because, you know, it's like 50-50. It's like, for one part it's good, for another it's not. You know, one part is more benefit, you know, more help, you know. But for another part, you know, like Puerto Ricans, you know, like as Puerto Rican, and I agree. But if you have to choose, you know, what is better for Puerto Rico, if you have to see if that is better, yeah, I will. Because we're looking for better opportunities, you know, to grow up, to better choice, better opportunity. As right now, Puerto Rico, you know, I think, you know, like the federal government, you know, can do more for Puerto Rico. Because she's saying, we citizens, like, they treat us like, you know, little bit different, but we citizens and we got the same right, you know, to any citizen, you know. That's the way I see things, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you identify as American, or do you identify as Puerto Rican American, or how do you, what do you feel more close to?
Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hilda, are these conversations that you're hearing as people are standing in line? I'm sure no one wants to get political as they're lining up to receive help, but what are you hearing as people are gathering and talking about their frustrations and their recovery efforts?
Well, absolutely. You know, the Puerto Ricans are very surprised and disappointed that the mainland, the federal government, has not responded to the needs, because, you know, basically we pay taxes. So it's not that FEMA is free. We pay for it, you know. But I think that Puerto Rico would not be in the situation that it is now if it wasn't because there are many policies and laws that affect the island and that basically contribute to the economic crisis that we have. In terms of the, you know, the status of Puerto Rico, that is something that the Puerto Rican people need to decide. We can't continue to be a colony of United States Commonwealth. What is that? You know, that's nothing. That's a term that I think someone came up with. It's not working for Puerto Rico. So, yes, the Puerto Rican need to make a decision as to what do we want it to be.
Mm-hmm. We're down to our last couple minutes, and I'd like to go around the table and ask our guests what they hope to see for both the immediate future and the long term for Puerto Rico. I know it's probably very difficult to anticipate where you might be in the next few years, but I'd like to know if you'd like to go back home, if you plan on making Rochester your permanent home now, and what you hope the island might look like.
Que si ustedes piensan volver para Puerto Rico y cómo usted cree que le gustaría ver su isla.
Por ahora no pienso volver a Puerto Rico.
No.
Por mucho tiempo.
For now, I'm not planning to go back to Puerto Rico for a long time.
Y la isla nunca va a ser lo que era la isla de nosotros.
And the island will not be the same island for many years. She says never, but I hope that we will have the island back. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wilfred, what about you?
Bueno, pensó quedarme un tiempo, pero vamos a ver qué pasa. A ver si arreglan la isla.
Well, he wants to stay for a while, but he wants to see what is going to happen if the island goes back or not.
Mm-hmm. And how about your parents? What are they?
For me, you know, I would like to see in Puerto Rico, you know, like progress, you know, more jobs, you know, like Puerto Rico to get better. You know, I will stay here in Rochester because you see the situation right now in Puerto Rico. You know, how I can go back to my Puerto Rico like that. You know, it's in here, sometimes I'm struggling with jobs. Imagine Puerto Rico, that people had the jobs already, they losing the jobs. Imagine me to go over there, you know, doing what? Suffer? Because the island is destroyed right now, is destroyed, you know. So, but I would like to see Puerto Rico. The Puerto Rico never will be the same island. I guarantee you that. You know, but we can build Puerto Rico and we can get Puerto Rico better. You know, and we have to get in unity and work for it. You know, work hard for Puerto Rico.
The spirit of the people in this room, the people in this community who have been generous and giving is just so heartwarming. I want to thank you all for being here. Listeners, if you'd like to try to help, you can go to Ibero's website and learn more. You can give them a call. Thank you all so much again for being here today. We all want to support you in Rochester. I wish you the best. Lo deseo lo mejor. Thank you so much. And listeners, thank you for listening. More Connections next.